Hi, this is Mimi Sheraton, author of 1,000 Foods to Eat Before You Die, and you are listening to Radio Cherry Bomb.
Everybody, welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb. I'm Carrie Diamond, editorial director of Cherry Bomb, the indie magazine about women and food. Today's show is sponsored by Le Cordon Bleu, the legendary culinary school with locations around the globe. Be sure to check out our sweepstakes with Le Cordon Bleu. You could win culinary classes in Paris, London, or Ottawa, plus airfare from New York, hotel, and a little spending money. Sounds great, right? Because it is. Just visit cherrybomb.com to enter. The sweepstakes ends in a few days, so don't delay. The whole team is pretty bummed that we can't enter. That's one of those legal things. So if you're the winner, we'll be living vicariously through you and your Instagram posts. You can be assured. And our new sponsor, Castor and Pollux, is the maker behind the brand new purposeful pet food line, Pristine. A lot of Bomb Squad members are proud pet parents, like me, so you'll want to know about this grain-free line made with responsibly sourced ingredients. Visit purposefulpetfood.com for more information. And also, speaking of Instagram, if you tag your pet, Cherry Bomb Pets, use that hashtag, we will be picking one person at person and their pet at random to win a year's supply of dog food. So if you have any precious pup, don't forget, hashtag Cherry Bomb Pets. We've had a fun time. We're pretty animal obsessed back at Cherry Bomb HQ, so we've had a fun time looking at everybody's puppies and cats and whatnot. Also, thanks to everyone in the Bomb Squad who's been saying nice things about the show. I thought it would be a good moment to just tell you how much we appreciate all of this. We love your emails and DMs, so keep them coming. A special shout out to the Rad Trace blog. They named us one of their favorite podcasts, which is something we never get tired of hearing. Today's show is all about women and wine. A few weeks ago, I recorded the following interview with three gals who are disrupting the wine scene. First up, I share a bottle of the pink stuff with Nikki Huguenier and Erica Blumenthal, founders of Yes Way Rosé. Then Marissa A. Ross, the hilarious writer behind Wine All the Time, which is a blog and a new book of the same name, pops into our studio. I hope you enjoy our happy hour. I always go for Provence and pale.
That's a great way to start.
But drinking right now, I would say this is more like a raspberry color.
Yeah, this is definitely a little deeper hued and brighter, but made with the grapes that classic Provence rosés that are much paler are made with. So it's just like a fun spin on it.
So why is it so bright?
So the color comes from skin contact. So it's just a matter of the juice and the skin being left together for longer. So maybe for a really pale rosé, they leave it in for 24 hours, even a couple hours. This maybe was left a little bit longer. Has like a little bit more flavor than some of those other rosés from a different region. I think it's the Languedoc region. And this is something that probably if I saw it in a store, I wouldn't just buy it, but it's on the menu at Roberta's. And so it's like when you go into a wine store, I think you should ask for help. If you're confused, recommendations are always helpful. And that's something like when we see this on a wine list here, we know it's got to be good.
And the waitress helped, and she had some leftover in a bottle, so she let us try it before opening up the bottle. So
nice.
We knew we were good.
Do you always drink at lunchtime?
No.
Special day.
Yeah. I mean,
day drinking is hard for me.
Me too. I'm like very sensitive to the day drinking and the heat and all of that. So I reserve it for special occasions like today.
When I indulge in day drinking, I also need to indulge in nap taking. Mm-hmm. So it's tough when it's a day that you can't take a nap. More places need nap pods.
Totally.
Right?
But I really don't feel this at all yet. So I think it's pretty low alcohol content, as rosé should be lower alcohol content, which is why you can drink more of it that's one of the reasons why when we first started drinking it, we were like, oh my God, we can drink so much of this and be okay. So I think that that's probably the case with this rosé too, because I'm feeling like I don't need a nap.
Okay, well, lucky you. But Nikki and I are going to start that chain of
going straight to bed.
Nap pod locations. Why hasn't anyone done that yet?
I feel like they have that in Japan.
Huh. I haven't been to...
Me neither.
I've only been to the airport in Japan.
I haven't.
That doesn't quite count as being to Japan. But visiting Japan. But...
I wish there was a button we could turn on that was just like nap now. You know, like a human button as well as a...
But you need a place to nap.
Totally.
Yeah, that's the thing. We're getting off topic. So that's my fault. So you know my favorite summer rosé topic when it comes to you two, because we've talked about this a million times, the rosé ice cube.
Mm-hmm.
So I always put ice in my rosé. And I used to feel a little bit of shame about that because, I don't know, you probably shouldn't put ice in your rosé. But now I feel no shame about it, and I do it.
Totally fine.
Are you're okay with that?
Yeah, for sure. I think the rosé is best when it's super cold. So whatever you need to do to make it cold, I think it's fine.
Now, is this your opinion or is this like sommelier opinion?
No, this is my opinion.
There's a lot of experience that's being said with.
This is my opinion. Okay. This is the official opinion of Yes, My Rosé. But we love the rosé ice cube. And so if you freeze, you just pour some rosé in an ice cube tray, you freeze it, and then you use that as your ice cube, then it doesn't dilute it at all. And it just like melts into a beautiful rosé slushy moment, which is super hot right now.
And I know we have to dedicate a little bit of time to talk about that. But the rosé ice cube... I mean, what a way to wow your guests.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was one of like our first, right when we started Yes, I Rosé, maybe we had our Instagram account like for a week. We were going to the Hamptons and we like had thought about the ice cubes for a while and then made the ice cubes and we couldn't believe it.
We stayed in a place that had a little kitchen. We were like, what do you think would happen if we poured rosé in the ice cube trays? Like we were really kind of... I think almost doing it for a photo, to take a picture of like me pouring the wine into the cubes, but then we froze them and it changed our lives.
Yeah.
Forever.
And I have shamelessly regrammed your rosé ice cube, you know this, regrammed your rosé ice cube photo like at least four times now. And every time I regram it, it just gets more and more popular.
Yeah, I think that, when will this air? Well, I think that this weekend or in the next couple of weekends, I'm going to try a really big ice cube tray, like cocktail.
Those big cubes.
Oh, sexy.
See what that happens.
Right.
So like, make it like a cocktail.
That, yeah. Fancy bartender.
The
ice.
Evolution of
That's
the ice cube.
That's a vision for the future of our gram.
I was half organized for today's show because we did kind of put this together last minute, but I was in a store and they had a diamond-shaped ice cube tray. And I was like, well, that's funny because my last name's Diamond. And I have an automatic ice maker in my machine, so I haven't figured out how to hook it up to rosé yet so that my refrigerator just churns out frozen rosé cubes. So I bought this ice cube thing and just I didn't have any rosé in the house, so I didn't get to make it. And it's not like... And it doesn't freeze instantly, so something you kind of do have to plan ahead as a host or hostess.
For sure.
Yeah.
The day before.
Okay, frosé.
Frosé, we are...
Thumbs up, thumbs down.
I'm going to give it a thumbs up. They're not... Okay, so some people, I think, put a lot of stuff into their frosé. Like, it becomes a... They put, like, maybe some liquor in there and some lemonade. And, you know, that can be good, but it's also... It gets really sweet really fast for me. But there are some that are... more just like straight frozen wine, and it's super refreshing. It tastes really good. There's actually a bar in New York that's making Summer Water, which is our wine, Summer Water Rosé, and they have like a Slurpee machine. It says Summer Water on it, and it's really amazing.
Wait,
it's,
what? Where is
it's
that?
It's 310 Bowery is the name of the bar and the address of the bar.
Convenient.
And it's super cool. So we're excited about that. It's also on tap at that bar, Summer Water. So that, but their version of the frosé is my favorite. First of all, it's Summer Water, but also it just tastes like frozen summer water. It doesn't taste like they threw a lot of extra stuff in there And that's, I'm going to say, the best rosé I've tasted so far. But I'm about it. I'm not, we don't drink it all the time, but I definitely don't hate it.
Yeah, I definitely don't hate on rosés. And I think I could dedicate more time to rosé recipes and tasting, you know.
A little rosé research.
Really doing rosé research. But, I mean, if given the choice between a glass of rosé and a rosé, I'll always choose a glass of rosé.
So just to break it down for everybody who has no idea what the hell we're talking about right now. So rosé became a thing last year, right? Was it last summer?
I think it started really blowing up last year.
That was when rosé first came on my radar. And it's literally what Nikki was saying. It's frozen rosé, sometimes mixed with other ingredients. A lot of times it's in one of those frozen drink machines or a slushy machine. And it's really fun. It took off like crazy. And now I feel like it's everywhere this summer.
It's everywhere.
I was at Pig Beach in Gowanus the other night. But they mix their rosé. It's more like a cocktail. Mm-hmm. And they had, I think I had two or three rosés. So I kind of forgot what was in it. But it did have other things. And it was a little bit sweeter than maybe a non messed with rosé. But then the summer water that you're talking about is actually the bottled rosé that Nikki and Erica are producing now with a partner.
Yes, Wink in California.
You have your own rosé.
We do. Who would have thunk?
So, yeah, it's made in the Central Coast in California, and this is the third vintage we've done. It's a Grenache Syrah blend, and summer water was our first inside joke when we were first falling in love with rosé. We called it summer water. So when presented with the opportunity a few summers ago or a few years ago, now we knew we had to give it to that name, and it's just really taken off. It's been an incredible project and incredible partnership and collaboration. We've learned so much, and you know, it's been one of the best parts of starting SO Rosé.
Where can you find summer water?
Well, you can buy it. You can go to summerwater.com, and there's one, you can buy it through Wink directly online. And then there's also a where to buy section on the website where you can see where it's located. Right now, we are mostly in California, New York, Chicago, Colorado, and New Jersey, maybe. But we're expanding every day, and we're finding it more and more. Like last night, we just went to the new bar that's opening at the Standard Hotel, the NARC Bar at the Standard Hotel East Village, and found out it's going to be on tap there. So we're very excited about that. So it's super cool. We were able to do it in different formats. We have regular bottles, we have magnums, we have Jeroboams, and kegs. So it's like anywhere you need to be. We have a solution for you.
For people who haven't had wine on tap yet, explain what that's all about.
So unfortunately, it's not as easy as like having a beer keg at your keg party in your backyard, because we've tried.
That is the dream. Like a mini keg.
But it's mostly
It should be as easy.
For like restaurant systems, but it's just the same. They have to, like, you know, wire it the way they do for beer taps. I have no idea how it works, but a lot of restaurants are doing that. There's a couple wine bars that are, like, all rosé, all wines on tap now, and it's just a really fun way. We got to design a special tap handle for summer water. So some places have it. 310 Bowery has it, and it looks like kind of like a beer handle, but it says summer water, and it's pink.
I would expect nothing less.
It's amazing.
But wine on tap is fantastic because it's way more sustainable.
Way more sustainable.
Because you're not dealing with all the boxes
all
and the glasses. And
exactly. The kegs are refillable. Mm-hmm. And it tastes delicious. And it's like, I don't even know how many bottles are in a keg, but it's a lot. So, you know, you're set for a while. If you can figure that out in your house. I've yet to do that. But
we haven't had our personal keg wish come true just yet, but hopefully on the way.
I didn't expect you two to be as far along in all of this as you've gotten in just a few years. So I wouldn't be surprised if by next year you have the personal rosé keg sitch figured out. So look at you. You've got your own wine. Did you quit your day jobs?
We did.
You quit your day jobs. I mean, you basically, like I said, you guys, it was a tote bag.
Yeah.
And now it's a
tote
whole
bag and a dream.
That's America.
Yeah. A tote and a dream.
So what do you two have planned for the summer?
So we've been working really hard in kind of the off season, planning a lot of stuff. We had a bunch of new merchandise come out on our site. We just came out with a candle that we're really excited about.
What does rosé smell like?
So that was a process. We thought about, you know, what does rosé smell like? And we worked with Joya, this company in Brooklyn, and their fragrance specialist. And we tried to make something at first that smelled like rosé, and I gotta tell you, it did not smell good. It wasn't working. It wasn't capturing what we wanted to capture. We really wanted to capture like the vibe of Yes, We Rosé. So we went with more of it's a rose petal kind of white musk and
spice,
kind of like a spicy rose, a cool rose, and it's called Eau de Rosé Vibes. So it's really about the rosé vibes, which we try to live every day.
We really like thought about it a lot because we weren't nailing the scent, and then pulled back and thought about this is more about Yes, We Rosé and that world, which is obviously inspired by rosé, but about so much more. And then once we did that, we were able to nail this scent that we're obsessed with.
Really good.
So, Erica, you were a fashion writer. Mm-hmm. Do you miss the fashion world? Or do you feel like you're still part of it in some weird way?
I'm still part of it. And we still, I mean, there's a lot of overlap. I mean, I guess that's been part of the evolution of rosé and this more lifestyle element is I'm still have my hand in it a lot of ways. But, I mean, there are certain parts about having two jobs or three jobs that I don't miss. But I feel like I'm still involved in a different capacity.
We partner with a lot of fashion brands, mm-hmm. and we still like keep up with the same people, I'd say.
Yeah, I still like look at runway shows. Yeah, I'm still, you know, like very obsessed with fashion and read Business of Fashion every morning. It's like one of the first things I read when I wake up, and the style section where I used to write for, I read every week. So I'm still obsessed, but it's nice. I mean, writing every week, I had a lot of deadlines, you know, so that's nice to be free from. Well, we have our own deadlines like 10 times a day, but it's totally different.
And how, speaking of deadlines, when you create your own wine, how far in advance do you have to work?
So the grapes are harvested in late August, early September. So you kind of have to be planning during the summer for the following summer. So you like, you know, narrow down your grapes. You get your grapes, you like tend to them. Then they're harvested in the end of summer. And then they kind of marinate, ferment, do their thing until...
Marinate? First time I heard that word used for winemaking.
And until about February. I think we bottled in early February. And then like blending happens, it sits in the tank, and then so our wine, for example, is a blend of two different grapes. So then you go back and forth tasting different blends until it's right, and then you blend it, and then you bottle it, and then it can be ready as soon as March, you know, to be sold.
That's so much pressure.
It is. Thankfully, we work with other winemakers, and it's not
very talented.
Just our decision. We get to choose between like three very good blends at the end of the process. And there's a winemaker, Ryan Zotovich, who does the hard part, and he's very talented. So we're super happy with the wine. But yeah, it would be a lot of pressure, and it's it can't be easy because it's. It's not just about the blending. It's about the farming and what day you pick, what time of day you pick. It's like best to pick in the middle of the night, I guess. You know, so there's all these little things that can make a huge difference.
Le Cordon Bleu. The renowned culinary school was founded in Paris 122 years ago by a young journalist named Mademoiselle d'Estelle. In 1895, she launched the first weekly culinary magazine called La Cuisinière Le Cordon Bleu. She invited subscribers to take part in free cooking lessons with the chefs featured in her magazine. And from there, the school was born. In the years since, Le Cordon Bleu's world-class instructors have taught French classical culinary techniques to everyone from home enthusiasts to food world legends. If you've dreamt of attending culinary school, maybe it's time to quit that boring corporate job and check out one of Le Cordon Bleu's 35 locations around the world, or add a short workshop or weekend program at one of its schools to your next vacation. Visit cordonbleu.edu for course descriptions, dates, and online registration. It's all possible at Le Cordon Bleu.
Hey there, Bomb Squad. This is Donna Yen from Team Cherry Bomb. My dog Teddy is a regular at Cherry Bomb HQ, and I care about where his food comes from just as I do my own. That's why Teddy and I are excited about Pristine, the only complete line of pet food made with responsibly sourced ingredients. Castor and Pollock's new line of pet food is made with ingredients like grass-fed beef and wild-caught salmon. I love that they care about Teddy as much as I do, and as for Teddy, he gives it two paws up.
So we have another special guest today, Marissa Ross. Marissa, come on in the studio.
Come and knock on your door.
Hello. Hello.
Hi, Marissa.
So sometimes this just happens that when we book guests, they actually know each other, they are friends, they like each other. I meant to check in advance with all three of you to make sure you guys all like each other. Marissa, just slap those headphones on.
Whoops.
So you can hear your level of your voice.
My voice, which is probably way too loud.
Oh, just a little. There you go.
Yeah, there we go.
Perfect. Okay. And your shirt, masculine, feminine.
Yeah.
Claire V in the house.
Claire V in the house, and also Godard.
Oh, so.
I brought some wine.
Fancy.
Yeah, I brought some stuff. I couldn't come in, you know, empty-handed.
Really appreciate it.
So Marissa stepped it up a notch from you two. And I don't want to show you two up, but
No. It's not about showing up. I want to do.
She had a nice bucket. Yeah. We did not.
That's okay. You guys got here before I did, and also too. Like, if I were you guys, I would have done the same thing. I would have been like, here's a tiny little glass. But I got to hang out at the bar and like take a moment. Also, I haven't seen Nikki and Erica in a minute, and I, you know, this is my first time meeting Carrie, so had to, you know, come in a little hot. Like, I love you guys. Speaking about liking people, I love these girls, so this is really nice.
I love them too, and I'm super happy to finally meet you, because
I know,
I think we've casually emailed.
And we tried to do the radio a couple years ago, and it just didn't quite work out. And then I was very fortunate to be in one of your issues, which was like, oh my god, I'm in jail now. Like, that was like, well, I was like, things are real, like I might have a career.
Because you are based in Los Angeles.
I'm out here often, but it's always this like jam-packed, like go, now get out, because we don't want to pay any more nights for you to stay here. And I'm like still a writer, so I'm not like, oh, I can afford to stay at the Standard for an extra two nights and just hang out and enjoy myself. So thank you so much for having me.
So I need to explain to the listeners who the heck you are. You are Marissa Ross, one of the most original voices in the world of wine. Still the wine editor at Bon Appetit, last time I checked, right?
Yep. I hope.
Well, I'll ping.
Until at least January.
Yeah, too famous. God, yeah.
I'll ping Adam after this and ask him if it's still...
No, he's going to be like, oh, God, she cussed a lot on all those podcasts. So I think we might need to get rid of her.
You are still a wine blogger.
Yep.
And you are the author of the new book, Wine All the Time, The Casual Guide to Confident Drinking.
Yes. Hilarious. No, that's not right. Yes, that's very, very true.
Congratulations.
Congrats, Marissa. Oh, book is so epic.
Oh, thank you guys. Thank you.
As I was typing it, I typed the guide to competent drinking, which
true?
I thought was really funny. Oh, Marissa's so funny. It's a guide to competent drinking as opposed to incompetent drinking.
I think I probably messed up not using that. I think that you actually just made my book better. I'm like, all right, take them all back. Recall. Let's redo this subtitle. We got to fix it.
So tell us what the book's about.
Well, the book is about competent. So the book, I wanted to create something that, all right, let me step back a little bit. I'm not a traditional wine person. I was
You're in good company with these
yeah,
two.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, we've known each other for a couple of years and kind of like, I feel like we kind of bonded over that. I was an aspiring comedy writer and I was pursuing comedy writing and performing very actively and wine writing, as I'm just about to say. Wine writing was my hobby. And I just did it every day cause I loved it. And, then it kind of exploded after like 5 years. It wasn't like a real overnight thing, but I'm sure it looked that way. And I wrote this book kind of because when I first got started in wine, there wasn't something that was just like fun and kind of easy, you know, like, and wine's not an easy subject, but there should have, I felt that there should be a way to get interested in it and, learn what you need to know to drink better right now. The consumer does not need to know everything. You know, you don't need to know about pH balances. You don't need to have to understand all of the science, but I felt that there had to be a way to deliver the information to say, hey, like, this is how wine is made. This is how to taste it. This is how to buy it and feel good and kind of just strip away the stuffiness and stodginess and the elitism of it. Like, wine is for everyone. It's for enjoyment. Like, why are we isolating wine to just a group of people that are supposedly smart enough to be able to understand it, when really it's about enjoying what you drink and having a good time?
So sort of how the restaurant world has had this fast casual moment.
Yeah.
You three sort of represent wine's fast casual moment in terms of making it more accessible.
Yeah.
To a bigger audience, because wine has, it is so, I'm intimidated by wine, which is so silly. Like,
you shouldn't. Well, that's why we're here. You know, like that's what's important. Which I'm like, speaking of, I want to pour you guys this wine I brought.
Yes. What did you bring in?
I feel like it's all about asking questions.
Yes.
And asking as many questions as you can. And I think that, you know, before Nikki and I really discovered our love for rosé, we didn't really ask any questions. We just ordered like the house red or the house white, and it was cheap. And like, if they call it the house wine, then it must be good. But if you explore the wine list, you'll find that there's other comparably priced bottles and you can learn more. And, you know, it's like learning a new language. It's really fun. And there's like so much to always constantly be learning about.
You know, it's not just that you three represent sort of the fast casual movement in wine. I mean, that implies like cheaper.
We're not
and lots
Chipotle.
Of
Chipotle.
Exactly. Yeah. You're not Chipotle.
I was thinking of it more as the tipsy trio.
Okay. But you also must kind of threaten the wine establishment, you know, the wine industrial complex, sort of, because you are, you know, you're not sommeliers. You are sort of challenging the hold that this group has had on the wine world and the people who sort of make it intimidating
for
the
like
rest
punk.
Of us.
We're like, fuck you guys. We're going to do that. I don't know. Am I allowed to cuss on this podcast?
More or less. I mean,
okay.
Some kids, my nephews do listen to it.
Okay. So. I promise to be strategic.
Okay. Okay.
And not flagrant.
But you are challenging the wine establishment.
Absolutely. But I think it needs to be challenged. I think that for me personally, like my philosophy on wine and wine culture is that there is a pendulum. Wine culture swings from being for the people and for status. So if we look at the last 25 years, wine it hit peak for status in the 90s. You know, you had like the big auctions, you had the big California wines, you had all these things that were happening that were only for people with money, with a higher education, or made to feel like you have to. I'm a college dropout, so like for me, you know, I'm like, whatever. About higher education, not, I really, really respect anyone that can do it. I just personally could not do it. So it went from being this, you know, for status thing and peak for status. And since then, it's been swinging back to for the people. And we're about to hit peak for the people, I think, in the next like couple of years. And I think that wine is going to be the way of craft beer, where like it's everywhere and people are a lot more knowledgeable about it and things like that. And people are going to feel much more comfortable. And you need people that can talk about wine in that way and present wine in that way for that to happen. So yes, we're pretty anti-establishment, but it was going to happen no matter what. Mm-hmm. I mean, and if you want wine to be a sustainable industry, it has to happen that way.
Yeah. Well, it's such a moment of disruption in every category. I mean, I was saying earlier, Eric and I worked in the media together, and I mean, talk about disruption, but in terms of wine, you know, the three of you, the whole natural wine movement. Yeah. I saw the raw wine conference is coming back to
Yeah.
New York in the
fall. And it's coming to Los Angeles this year.
Yes.
Which is huge.
Did you go last year?
I wasn't able to go last year. I was finishing my book.
I went last year. So it was this conference dedicated to natural, organic, biodynamic, that whole movement in wine. And it was, I don't know, somewhere like on the border of Brooklyn and Queens.
Yeah.
It wasn't somewhere.
It wasn't easy to get to. And I went the day before Election Day. Oh. And I was like, no one's going to be at this. It's a Monday. I'll schlep out and just see. Because I'm super curious about that category. I got there. It was packed.
It's a thriving community. Natural wine.
I mean, if you're not into that movement, I know a lot of traditional wine people who aren't into that movement at all.
Totally.
You cannot deny that this is happening in a big, big way.
Well, and natural wine is like kind of the cornerstone of my work. I focus mostly on that. I like to say low intervention because I don't like to leave a lot of people out that may be doing really well by the land, by the consumer, but maybe can't quite be, you know, no sulfur or no this or no that. But it's definitely a huge movement that's gaining a lot of momentum and I think is extremely important if we consider like our climate, both in like a actual and also a, you know, metaphorical, like if we talk about like how our politics are going, like what America is doing right now in a lot of ways, like we really have to be focused on how we treat the land and also our bodies and things like that. So
I just looked up, it's rawwine.com for people who are interested. And the conference is, the page just changed on me. Anyway, I think it said November, yes, 5th and 6th in New York City.
Yeah.
Doesn't say the LA
dates. The LA one, I don't think they have quite the dates yet. But
if you're interested, you should check it out and learn more about this category. Because
Absolutely. Just
like you're saying, Marissa, it makes all the sense in the world because look at the changes in organic food.
Oh, absolutely. There's a section in my book that's like, if you care about your microgreens, you have to care about your wine.
Mm-hmm.
People don't look at wine as an agricultural product, and it is. And I mean, I can go into a whole thing about I think that Americans just have like a very unhealthy relationship with alcohol. I think we are staved off from it for so long, and then we're released into the wild at 21, and we're expected to like have a healthy relationship with something that gets you drunk and lets you have sex with people that you may not know very well and like have a good time and do some drugs, like whatever you're doing, you know, and it's a means to an end. And you're not really thinking about it. And I think that really creates a very it's created an unhealthy relationship to it where we don't really think about what's in our glass. As the same way we think about what's on our plate. But I think that is changing.
So speaking of what's in our glass.
Oh, yeah. So
what is in our glass?
So this is a Saint Laurent Rosé, Petillant Naturel from Strovec 1075. It's a Slovakian wine. Mm. And I might become obsessed with this producer. You know, you're not thinking about wines from Slovenia very often, but here where they are, and it's really, really cool.
I love this.
Delicious.
For those who can't see what we're doing, it's a little cloudy.
Yeah.
It's a very pretty sort of peachy pink.
Yeah.
It's a little effervescent.
Yeah, so it's not as Petillant Naturels are natural sparkling wines. This one actually, it was just explained to me that it goes through oak for, it's in an oak barrel before it's in bottle, so it's not quite as bubbly, but it's really delicious.
It is really delicious. It's very, I like the tartness.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. And that's why, it's so funny. Also, I'm sorry. I'm like, I'm dominating this conversation.
We chatted for a little while. The girls will pipe in again.
Yes. When I first got into wine, I was like, well, I like Cabernet. I like Cabernet. My family liked Cabernet. Like, I grew up with Cabernet. Like, And I didn't realize that I really kind of didn't like it until I tried natural wines, which are, I'm personally, like, my palate is, like, super sour. Like, I want the most sour, most salty
things.
There's
a sour, salty note to this. Yeah.
And then when I discovered natural wines, a lot of them, they're much higher acid, and they do have like a certain like salty quality to them where they're more like Sour Patch Kids or potato chips than like your average, you know, like big California Zinfandel. And I love that. To me, they're really exciting and I think they're great food wines. You know, they get your mouth watering. You're like, oh my gosh. Like right now, I'm like, I can't wait to eat pizza.
You two did the pizza thing already. Me too.
Yeah, I have some leftovers.
Yeah, you guys are like, no, I'm fine. Thank you so much.
Done with the pizza. If you know, if you are curious about this category and want to know more, it's really helpful to go to a wine bar or a restaurant that really specializes in natural wines, because
Absolutely.
They can talk you through the whole thing.
It's something that is not currently very accessible to the average consumer in an easy way. I try really hard to promote people finding a wine shop, like a dedicated wine shop where you can actually go and ask questions. You know, you have to go and ask questions is like the most important thing. And with natural wine, you have to ask questions. And I know that that's really hard for shy people, you know, but you have to.
But also if you live in a small town and they don't have natural wine in your wine store and enough people go in and ask for natural wine, then
exactly.
they'll start stocking natural wine. So that's why the questions really matter.
It's true, because it's like organic food or craft beer. You know, 10 years ago, those were not things that you saw in grocery stores or available in grocery stores. Or I'm like, wait, cut. Those are things that you did not see in across America. But now, you know, I go to like, you know, my husband's town in the middle of nowhere, Illinois, and you can get craft beer, you can get organic food. So yeah, it's hard to find these wines in a lot of places right now, but it's all about asking for it and demanding it.
Are there any wine clubs that have that are specializing in natural wines yet? There's so many wine clubs.
I don't know about it, but I'm sure it exists, because something exists for everything.
I would think so. I haven't heard of any that I would personally promote. I think that natural wines are... Excuse me, those bubbles. I think that natural wine is really hard for a wine club in particular, because shipping, they're a lot more sensitive to temperature differences and things like that. So if they're not being stored in a cooled, you know, container, which I think is expensive, you know, it's, I think it's really, really hard to transport. Like mm-hmm. I know of one wine club that tried to send out some natural wine. I think last year then they all exploded.
Oh,
And production's small, so there's only so much of that. You mm-hmm. know, each.
Yeah, there's only so much of each. So.
All right, so let's talk about some summer stuff. What is each of you doing this summer? Nikki, start with you.
Well, what are we doing?
I love how you guys like talk. It's like you guys are like a team.
Maybe summertime's not vacation time for you too.
It's not really our vacation time.
It's our high season, so we're working, but our work during the summer is fun. We spend a lot of time setting it up in the spring so that we can enjoy the moments in the summer and kind of like live the lifestyle that we're trying to build. So we're hanging out, we're doing a couple events, but yeah, mostly around. We're going to go out to Montauk a little bit.
I think I'm going to be at that same event.
Oh, next Friday?
Next
Friday. Oh, no, I'm going to a different one. But it's a rosé thing. Damn it, I was hoping it was the same
one. Maybe we'll go back.
Do you have all your events, I guess for all three of you, book signings, rosé events, are they all on your website, on your Instagram? How can people find out?
They will be on our website when we... have all the details fine-tuned.
Okay.
I'm like, I'm a disaster right now. Okay. I hope to get them up soon. I'm like, I don't know what's going on with
So maybe
life.
Just check out their Instagrams.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Marissa, any vacation time?
No.
Aren't you going on a honeymoon, Miss Newlywed?
Did you just get married?
I did get married in May. Yeah.
Oh.
You posted a picture of you with your dad
in
a very low-cut white dress. Yeah. And I was like, is that a wedding dress?
Yeah, that was my wedding dress.
Nice.
I was like, I don't have a ton of assets. I'll just show off these cool rib bones I get. I was like, I'm going to spend like $400 on this like wedding dress and then like buy baller shoes was like my thing. I was like, why am I going to spend a bunch of money on a wedding dress? Because my wedding got canceled. So thank God I was supposed to get married in Big Sur.
Oh no.
And they had like 2 months before my wedding, they had one of the bridges collapse. So climate change is real. It's because there were 60 like inches of rain within 3 months in Big Sur, and they had all these landslides. When people are like, climate change isn't real, I was like, bitch, my wedding got canceled because of climate change.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
Big Sur is so beautiful.
I know. It's fine. It all worked out.
It's really sad what's going on there.
Oh, my God. It's awful right now because mm-hmm. they rely so much on tourism.
Yeah.
We did just get married. I did have a very low cut dress.
I wasn't judging. You look gorgeous.
No, thank you. And I want to go on a honeymoon. Right now, it's like book stuff for the end of time, it feels like. I'm going back to Italy, but that's still that still work. It's interesting because, and I'm not sure if you guys feel the same way, but when I go, you know, people are like, oh, well, you're in France and you're in Italy and like you're in Spain, you're doing all this stuff. I'm like, I have to work. Like, that is me writing for a week straight, you know. It's not like I'm just drinking wine and having a ball. Like, so hopefully we go on a honeymoon at some point. There's nothing planned yet. My summer plans are to promote my book, keep working, and work so hard that maybe I can have a summer eventually. Like, and I'm excited to, like, I'm going to Montauk in, at the end of July, which I've never been to because I'm from California and we don't get to do things like that. So that will be fun. And, yeah, just, I don't know. And I'm sure you guys feel the same way, where when you're just starting this out, you don't get any downtime.
Yeah, we're like in massive hustle mode right now.
Yeah, so it's I feel like I work all the time.
Yeah, you must. You have to work all the time.
There's no paid vacation, I guess, where was that?
Yeah. Yeah, no, no. I'm like, you barely get a weekend. Yeah. Like, and sometimes your weekend's just like a Wednesday because you're like just crying all day. And you're like, I have to take the day off. Like, this is my Saturday. I've decided. Like, fuck it.
I've had those weekends. Yeah. People always say, did you always know you wanted to be an entrepreneur? And I'm like, no, I loved working for the man. Like, I really did. You know, your health insurance is taken care of. You have an HR department.
You know you have Saturdays and Sundays off.
You've paid vacations, weekends. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, boom.
Yeah, it doesn't stop.
The past few shows, we've had a lot of women who have sort of carved their own paths in the food world, just like the three of you have. And it's hard.
It's very hard.
It's really hard. I think, you know, we talk so much about the great stuff about it. And, you know, Nikki and Erica, you two definitely seem like overnight success stories. You know, we joke that it started as a tote bag and now it's like this whole lifestyle brand. But a lot of hard work went into
that. I think
that.
It's so much more work than anyone even knows. Like, and I know you guys, and like, I just know how people judge me too. And like, people just think that you just wake up one day and you're like, I'll do this thing.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to just like do it. And it's so easy. I'm like, who cares? And I don't know how you ladies feel, but it's also becomes one of those things where, at least for me, where you have to work so hard that you then don't really know how to turn it off. I don't know if you guys experience that, but like for me, it's been 2 years of nonstop like writing for 16 hours a day, like with selling the book and then getting hired at Bon Appetit, to where I don't really know how to not be doing that. And it's like, it's frustrating in a way because I feel like I'm just never doing enough. And that's a shitty feeling. Like, you want to be able to turn it off. And I think that if you're a woman that is creating your own path, you have to work so hard to do it that it's think that you don't really know how to just be. And I think that you have to like maybe retrain yourself to do that, which I'm going to try to do. Maybe that's my summer plan.
I think it takes time. I mean, I definitely feel that way. Sometimes it's really hard to turn off. I think only recently, now that like we're both doing it full time and we have all this extra time to put into it that we didn't before, that it doesn't feel like that there's time, like, not enough time, you know?
Yeah. That's nice.
There always feels like there could be more, but, you know, we have to carve out time to, like, drink wine sometimes, you know? Like,
yes.
That's really important. I also wanted to say that when we were talking about, like, being disruptive in the wine world, that I think the three of us have also experienced that the more established wine community, like, they can't deny us because we promote their wine when they don't even like know what social media means really or think about it because they're so, you know, that way. So I think like when we promote a region or a place, they love it because it's drawing attention to something that they had, you know, reaching a whole other consumer, or new wine drinkers.
Agree.
So, you know, they for the most part embrace us. Like, we have this Meet the Rosé Maker feature on our website.
But I think that's a huge difference, though, is that you're talking about, like, the winemakers, the regions. These are the people that do love us. Like, I don't have a problem. Like, no winemakers, like, screw off Marissa Ross.
Yeah.
Like, no one, you know, no winemaker says this. Like, they're really excited to have the exposure and have people care in the way that probably no one else has. But people, I think, that are talking about wine in a very different way than we are. where they just feel threatened.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, it's not the producers or the people that are actually making the wine, which actually means more to me. I'm like, you don't have to like me. You don't have to like me, sir, that's been writing about wine for 50 years. I don't like, fine. You don't have to like me. Like, the fact is, like, the winemakers that I promote like me, that I love. And that's what matters way more than you liking me.
And we just care about it from a different thing. Like, we're all about the story. And, like, you know, we're not starting with, like, flavor profile first. Like, we're starting with, like, who are these people? You know? And, like, what are they into? What are they doing there? They're real people, you know? It's like, we interview them like they're actors or actresses. And we want to know, like, all the juicy details.
Well, I love that all three of you are just sort of stripping away the intimidation from something that should really be a lot more fun than it is for some people. Because wine is awesome. You know, I came from a beauty background, love the whole world of fragrance. You know, wine is part of the whole same thing. Food is part of the same thing. And
it's just about enjoying your life. Mm-hmm. And why does that have to be exclusive for only some people to enjoy their life in a certain way? Like, everyone should be able to enjoy their life in this way. Or at least I believe that. And we all, I'm sure, I know all of us in this room do. But some people are just really, they need to find a way to be better than other people. They do not have security in their life in some other way that this is how they make up for it. Just being an asshole.
Well, that weirdly is a good place to end. So like I said, check out everybody's Instagrams. Yes Way Rosé. Nikki, you are like hidden on Instagram.
I'm private.
Nikki likes to be like the
So don't look for Nikki, but
I don't even have. I don't have
Nikki's like
too.
Personal email address. Like I only have Erica's. Like when I have to email them, I have to email Erica and then Yes Way Rosé, and I just have to hope that Nikki like sees
I'm
it.
I'm like a very reluctant Instagram star over here. Like, please don't take my picture. But I'm learning to love it. I'm trying to get into it, but my personal Instagram is terrible, so no one needs to follow.
Okay, so we won't even bother.
She puts
to look
all the
for
goods
it.
Into Yes Way Rosé. Yeah. Okay.
Well, there's a lot of goods there, so.
Absolutely. So check out the Yes Way Rosé Instagram account. Check out.
It's just Marissa A. Ross. I'm very simple.
Marissa A. Ross.
With the A, yeah.
What is the A?
I joke that it's asshole, but. Your poor nephews. It's Anne with no E. Marissa, but there was a casting director named Marissa Ross, and when I started writing, there was a lingerie model named Marissa Ross. So when you Google it, it would be like this casting director or this, very voluptuous, beautiful woman. And I was like, I am neither of those things. So put the A in.
Have the three of you ever been in the same room at the same time?
No, although it used to be hilarious because when I would call agencies when I was doing all my comedy stuff, you know, I'd be like, this is Marissa Ross, like all authoritative, and they'd be like, oh, of course,
we'll
patch you through. And then they'd be like, who, what, oh, it's you, like what? And I'm like, yeah, don't you want to get me a job? And they're like, no, like, goodbye.
Are you still pursuing a comedy career?
No, I'm okay. So much happier. I mean, I love being on stage, and I would love to sort of do that. But the idea of being in a room for 16 hours a day writing scripts in that way versus writing about wine in the comfort of my home. And I'm really fortunate, and I'm sure that you guys kind of feel the same way. I've been really fortunate to be kind of congratulated for just saying what I want and doing what I want. And the idea of having to, like, go back into working for the man and not being able to do and say what I want sounds awful. So I'm very, very happy with where I am. And because I get to infuse my career with comedy, it's like, why would I change? Like, why would I go back? So I'm really fortunate that I have this life now.
Well, there's not enough humor in the food world, so we're happy that you are around.
The wine world.
Yeah, the wine world.
I feel like that's one of the reasons that we love each other and that we get along so well, because there are so many people who take wine so seriously, and it it is a serious subject, but it's also really fun. And I think we all try to interject humor into that. Marissa definitely does it really well. And
I think that it's just like about bringing the lightness to it. It doesn't have, because I feel like there just needs to be balance. Like just like a great wine or a great meal. Like those are things that have to have balance to them. And for so long, the wine industry had no balance. It was, you had to get started in this, like you had to dive into this like very deep end that was really just scary, you know, and dark. Not dark as in like the actual writing, but like I think about it as like the deep end of the ocean. And, you know, that's
so the wines are balanced, just not anything else. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have a little to-do list from today. You need to find summer wine, the rosé from Yes Way Rosé.
Summer water.
Right. You need to, let me start over. So we have a little to-do list for today. You need to find summer water, the rosé from Yes Way Rosé. You need to make rosé ice cubes, and you can use summer water to make your rosé ice cubes as well.
It's even better.
You need to get Marissa A. Ross's book, Wine All the Time, The Casual Guide to Confident Drinking.
Or competent.
For less incompetent drinking in your life, read that book. And we all just need to chill out about wine.
Yeah.
And just enjoy it.
And have a good time.
Chillax.
Chillax. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, great seeing the three of you and talking to you. Marissa, I'm glad I finally got to meet you.
I'm so glad I finally got to meet you.
I hope it's not the last time.
Yeah.
And that's it for today's show.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you,
Cherry Bomb.
So fun always.
That's it for today's show. Radio Cherry Bomb was engineered by the one and only Dave Tatasciore. Thank you again to Erica and Nikki of Yes Way Rosé and to Marissa A. Ross of Wine All the Time. Thank you to Le Cordon Bleu for making this season of Radio Cherry Bomb possible. Don't forget to enter our Le Cordon Bleu sweepstakes, going on right now but ending soon. To enter, visit cherrybomb.com and click on the banner. You could win a trip to Paris, London, or Ottawa, plus culinary classes and spending money. Thank you to Castor and Pollux for making this season of Radio Cherry Bomb possible as well. If you're a devoted pet parent, be sure to check out Pristine, the only complete line of pet food made with responsibly sourced ingredients. And don't forget to tag your puppy or dog or favorite pet, hashtag CherryBombPets. You could win a year's supply of really nice dog food. So tag your pet, hashtag CherryBombPets. And be sure to check out the latest issue of Cherry Bomb featuring Martha Stewart and today's guest, Yes Way Rosé. You can find the magazine at all Barnes & Noble locations around the U.S. and at locations such as McNally Jackson in Manhattan and Book Soup in Los Angeles. Thanks for listening, everybody. You're the bomb.
Hi, I'm Janae Pohl, and I'm the Director of Operations at Blue Marble Ice Cream, which is New York City's only certified organic ice cream brand. Radio Cherry Bomb is a joint production of Cherry Bomb Magazine and the Heritage Radio Network. To subscribe or learn more about the magazine, visit cherrybomb.com. You know who I think is the bomb? Caroline Schiff, Executive Pastry Chef at Scoops and Sweets in Fort Greene, Brooklyn. Not only is she an absolute genius, but her hair is always on point and her cakes are absolutely the best in town.